Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Friday. We made it to the end of the week. Let's go. We are live today at the Side Piece downtown, right off 2nd Avenue, right at 2nd and Commerce. If you're familiar with the area, you've been around for a long time, the old Sbarro, that spot is now called the Side Piece, and that's where we are today. We're excited to be here for a great Friday show, and thanks to them for having us 200 Commerce Street. Here in Nashville. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McKay. Brandon Bigsby, a.k.a. Brando, on the ones and twos back in the studio today because Nick Frazier's already worked like four shifts. So we're gonna give him the rest of the day off.
Good. Brando, you there, buddy? We like talking to our guys back at the home base.
Hey, doing good, guys. How are you guys doing over there?
Oh, that's
fantastic.
Voice of an angel right there, Brando.
Yep.
Well done. No, we're excited. This will be a fun big weekend happening and so we got a very cool question of the day coming up in a few moments. We'll get to that. But it's just, there's a cool buzz around the city right now. Thanksgiving's good. This is the best, like, from now until January the 1st is, like, the best time of the year. You got sports. It's holiday season, Thanksgiving, Christmas, a lot of moving parts, championship games happening, coaches getting fired, coaches moving on to new jobs, coaches – taking jobs they said they never would, and on. So I guess we're still the Lane Kiffin watch. Is that where we're all on this morning? He's supposed to allegedly meet with Ole Miss and see where things stand, but I've seen nothing since that this morning. I don't know.
I haven't either. And I learned my lesson yesterday, so I'm not gonna throw stuff out there.
You got mad at me. You're like, you didn't report this yesterday. I'm like, no, I didn't hear about it.
I didn't get mad at you. I was like, oh no, please tell me I haven't done what I think I've
But
done.
You know, so here's the deal with Clark Lee. You know, the report was, you know, extension maybe or whatever. But the more I think about it, if I'm Clark Lee, see ya. I'm just – unless they give him a contract, which is unlike any other.
But it's different, man.
But I see ya. I mean, you tell me you wouldn't take Penn State over Vandy? You got a six-year deal.
I mean, sure, but, like, I just think for him it's his alma mater. It's his hometown. Like, there's a little – like, is there – we've talked about this before. Every coach has an ego, whether they want to admit it or not.
Right.
And Clark is definitely not – egotistical like a Brian Kelly or others.
Right.
But don't you think there's that sense of him of, like, the one that's mentioned is Dan McGugan from, like, the 1800s, who has like, don't you think in his head, like, man, it'd be really cool if one day they're practicing at the Clark Lee Center?
Sure.
Now, I don't think he thinks that, but, right. like, but there is that probably deep down of, I want to be the one that turns this around. Like, if he gets Vanderbilt football to the college football playoff, I mean, it's already a historic best year they've ever had.
Yep.
Today. I mean, they got 8 wins.
They've never had a 10-win season. They're at 8-2.
8-2, yeah. So, he gets into the playoff. You don't I mean, that's – everything else is going to be gravy. Like, this would be the greatest season ever.
But we remember 21, 22, and 23.
Yeah, sure.
They
sure.
were terrible.
But you had to build somewhere.
Yep. And so you lose Pavia, you lose Stowers, you lose a lot of good talent going forward. But I get it. I mean, it's a 50-50. I mean, you're talking about generational money you could get from another school. And I don't know his name to mention anyplace else. But the fact that you're – that's about with Vanderbilt. You get success, people are coming after you. They went after James Franklin, what happened, and all those things there. But, look, just take care of business tomorrow. Let things play out the way they are. But if I'm an AD at LSU, Florida – or Penn State, or UCLA, I'm looking at Clark Lee. I mean, that guy is fantastic. He's solid. I think he's quietly strong. I mean, we talked to him. We saw the SEC documentary. He's really cool, man. And a lot of guys that I'm on a group text with guys I played college football with had no idea who Clark Lee was until last year. Love him. Like, that's a coach. So, I don't know. Vanderbilt better open up their pocketbooks, because
and I think if they're smart, they will.
Heck yeah, they will.
You know, I mean, he's and kudos to them, because, like, I don't think we give, you know, Candace Story Lee and you know, was it Dearmeyer?
I have no idea.
Chancellor Dearmeyer. We don't give the people above him enough credit too, because they have changed their way of thinking. As Greg Pogue used to put it, selective poverty doesn't seem to exist as much anymore
right.
when it comes to athletics. And look, credit Tim Corbin. Tim Corbin has been one of the forefathers of this, just on the ground running with the baseball program. And now you've got football, baseball, men's and women's basketball that are trending in a much better direction. Women's soccer, I mean, there's, you know, so I think that they have changed that narrative of, like, my dad used to joke, I've told this story many times, oh, they get that check from the SEC and build another science building.
Right.
I don't think that's happening anymore.
Could somebody let us know if the game tomorrow at Vanderbilt sold out? I've seen several websites that sold out, and I've seen others that said it's not near a sellout. I'm curious. I mean, that's Vanderbilt. Okay. Thank you, Brando. So, oh, good. That makes me feel much better that it's sold out tomorrow for that. And 2:30, I mean, national TV, ESPN. And I'm worried sick about Kentucky coming here and beating Vanderbilt. And that is the old Vanderbilt and me coming out. And I get that. And there's a lot of us that are in the same boat like I am. But just here, if you're tomorrow, the excellent day tomorrow would be Vanderbilt, Kentucky, Missouri beats Oklahoma, and Florida curb stomps Tennessee. If you're a Tennessee football fan, that is the best Saturday you could hope for.
I agree. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joseph, our question of the day is?
So we want to know what your – and I think I'm stealing this from Jake Lyman because we love Jake. But, Jake, I'm stealing your idea here. I want to – because there's so much happening. You got Vandy playing, Tennessee playing, the Preds playing, and the Titans playing, all in this 24-hour window, Saturday, Sunday. What are our Monday morning headlines going to be? You guys are creative. You're fun. What are the Monday morning headlines going to be? You can pick one team, pick two, pick three, pick four. Doesn't matter. I want to know what Monday morning headlines are going to be after this weekend. And, Chase, I'll start with you, pal. What's our Monday morning headline going to be? Start on West End.
Vanderbilt beats Kentucky.
Okay.
In a close one.
All right.
Vanderbilt beats Kentucky in a close one. Not overtime, but a close one.
All right.
That's headline number one. Headline number two, since it's Saturday night. Predators beat Colorado 2-1 in overtime. I don't know why. I just kind of have a funny feeling.
Right. That's good.
Titans. Okay, we talked about this earlier. That this, if you look at any of the games
you're
on the schedule.
Way too much thought into
No, hang on. I'm just prefacing this. That this is the one where, like, the Titans should have no chance.
Right. It happens.
But I still don't think they have a chance. But the headline will read.
Yeah.
Ward to Restrepo, what Titans fans have been looking for.
I hope you're right on that. There's one more you got to finish out for me.
Which one?
Florida, Tennessee.
Vols stomp the Gators in Gainesville.
Okay. All right. I like that. All right. You're solid in your approach. I agree with you on Vandy, Kentucky. I think Vanderbilt wins, but my goodness, it's going to be Pavi in the fourth quarter with a drive. I think Colorado beats the pants off the Predators. I think they're terrible. I don't think there's any drive or passion on that team.
We'll talk about
it. I think they get beat 4-0. I just think there's no drive there. I think Florida beats Tennessee because Tennessee hasn't won there since 2003, and that's all the talk. It's been all week long. I mean, Heupel's been asked about these. Like, well, I wouldn't hear for that. On and on and on. That makes Florida's season. You knock off the balls.
I hate when coaches do that. Like, you're right. You weren't. Right. But it's like, it's still relevant to the conversation. So stop with the cop-out. Well, that was before me. Or, you know, Vrabel was always like, well, I don't know what happened last year. I wasn't here.
So you had Fulmer.
That's not true. You do know what happened last year because you had to study to take the job.
Right. Fulmer lost in 5-7, Kiffin in 9, Dooley in 11, Butch 13-15-17, Pruitt 19. And
Butch
now,
never – well, no, Butch beat him once.
And Knoxville. The 21-23 Heupel loss. So I think Florida makes their season. I hope I'm wrong on that. Sunday with the Titans, I think if they played anybody else, they might have a chance. But Seattle is so good on the road, and beat
the spread. They're coming off a loss.
And they know – and just the Titans aren't really good. But, man, I'm telling you, if I see the list and it says Restrepo's active, I'll lose my mind.
He won't be. But,
no, of course not. I don't know who they got over. Who else? I mean, you got Van Jefferson. Iron Manners.
They called up. They've already signed Prochet. So Io Manor, I don't think plays because of the hammy.
Okay.
Chim's going to play, I think, but Chim's going to not be 100%. In fact, let me pull up.
So you got DK, Van Jefferson, Prochet, and that's it. Don't give me Mason Kinsey.
Well, he's on the roster.
I'd
like to give him back. But.
So a lot of Chig and Gunnar Helm this weekend. I mean, you're going to.
I would run a lot of two tight end sets.
You're going to have to. I mean, you're going to have to. Seattle knows what's happening. Take pressure off Ward. This could be really bad on Sunday. But I just think.
And then they signed two slappies that I've never heard of on the practice squad.
But above anything else, I'd like to see Vanderbilt win. If I had to pick the four of those things, I want Vanderbilt to win. I want them to go out senior day.
I'll say that. I want Vanderbilt to win, obviously. I want Tennessee to win. I want Tennessee to flush the narrative that they can't win in Gainesville. Because I think we would all agree on paper Tennessee's a better football team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, the coach got fired in Florida.
Yeah.
So that should tell you something.
So I think if Tennessee beats Florida, they beat Vandy next week in Knoxville. I think Vandy rolls there 9-2, and Tennessee has gotten feeling good 8-3. And the talk next week is going to be Pavia running that mouth. And I'm glad he ran that mouth because it's something to talk about.
Sure.
But we'll see. But Vanderbilt, take care of business tomorrow. They deserve a sold-out crowd over there to be loud and proud and everything that goes on with that. So be a lot of fun. So your Monday morning headlines.
So here's what you got with the injury report. Elik Iomanner has not practiced Wednesday or Thursday. He's going to be out. DK, full participant Wednesday and Thursday. So
that's good.
Chig was limited both days. Simmons didn't practice Wednesday, limited yesterday. Spears is good. Ward's good. Wood's good. Zeitler's limited. He's been limited all year, so I don't know what you're talking about. You're going to have right now DK, Van Jefferson, Kinsey, Prochet.
Oh, man.
I think they have to. I think you have to call him up. You can't go with four with one of them not being 100%.
I totally agree. I would love – again, we've talked about this for weeks now, and people have made fun of it, and I don't care. I don't give a damn. But bring him up and let him – if he scores a touchdown, I'll lose my mind. If he scores two touchdowns, I'll be –
Let's say they call him up, right? Cam Ward should walk in to Hardegree and McCoy and go, I don't care what you call. But he's going on the field, and the first play, I'm going 20 yards downfield.
Today. Right. You don't have to do that. He's a slot guy.
Yeah.
Boom. Off the backfield. Let it go.
Out route.
Let him go,
hit
man.
Hit him in the slot.
All day long.
All day.
Yeah, and do it. I would love that. Give me something to cheer for
now,
Sunday.
Knowing Mike McCoy is going to be like, well, I think what we're going to do is punt. We're going to play field position.
We're going to start punting on third down just because. No, but I would love to see him in there this week. Give me something to be excited about, Titans. I've got nothing to be excited about right now. Put him in there and see what he can do. If he falls on his face and you all can call in and say, ha ha, I told you so, I don't care. But what if it's better than we imagine? What if he gets in there and he just turns the jets on and it's a great day? You know, if that happens, I'm going to be really mad. Because thinking he should have been playing since week one. Yeah. I'll be mad.
Well, Brian Callahan, he might be like, well, damn.
Right?
That might have saved my job.
Well, next time I'll do that.
There won't be a next time, Brian. 615-737-1025. Is our phone and text line. We're live at the Side Piece here on 2nd and Commerce today in beautiful downtown Nashville. We'll have more coming. We've got a great show. Chris Sanders is going to join us at 1 o'clock. Jordan Tutu at 1:30. Really excited to talk to Jordan because it's been a minute, and we'll tell you what he's got going on. And then Sean Henry at 2:30 today. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Oh, hell yeah. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. This music makes me want to drink a beer, have another beer.
Who is this?
Stone Cold. Stone Cold. We are at the Side Piece, Nashville, here on Commerce and 2nd. 200 Commerce Street is the address. Everyone needs a good side piece. Drinks, live music, and the cheesiest pizza on 2nd Avenue. Just steps away from Broadway, your perfect late-night fling. The Side Piece. It's okay to cheat on your usual spot. Visit thesidepiecenashville.com.
Okay.
I'm just reading the copy, okay? But anyway, it's a cool place. You know, those of you familiar with this area, the old Sbarro, where yes. it was forever.
Spent many
which, again, was another late-night place.
Many a drunken stupor coming in here ordering greasy pizza all night long.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, you can do that here at the side. You've already had some pizza. How
but
was
this
it?
Pizza's good. Yeah. Really good. That Sbarro's pizza at 2 in the morning was, like, been there all day. This is really good.
Yeah. Headlines for Monday, to kind of borrow one from Jake Lyman. Scott also said, Joe, wrong. Vanderbilt needs Tennessee to win. They need to be ranked as high as possible when Vandy plays them next week.
No, I get that. I just don't think they're going to win. I just don't think. But I think if Tennessee wins, they beat Vandy next week. They knock that down, and they'll be ready to ruin Vanderbilt's season. Now, if Vanderbilt loses tomorrow, it's all for naught. Then I think they lose next Saturday in Neyland. They finish 8-4. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. Dave says, Predators join Titans in ass status.
I don't think they're that bad yet, but they're getting there.
No. Wes in Clarksville, Monday morning, McCoy decides to go for a field goal on 4th-and-2, and Cam Ward cusses him out.
Now, that could happen. It's happened.
0877, Monday morning, headline, Preds get demolished by Colorado in spite of Brunette coaching his butt off. We'll get to that. That's a reference to what Barry Trotz said yesterday.
Isn't Colorado really good?
Yeah. Matthew from Jolton, Titans blown out by Seattle. Preds still lose. Vanderbilt keeps playoff hopes alive. The streak continues. Tennessee loses in Gainesville.
That's my thinking right there going down there. Tennessee and Florida, it's 2003. Only I remember that game is Casey Clawson was pretty good, and James Banks caught a Hail Mary at halftime.
So Clawson was the last quarterback to be
there? Yeah, right? Crazy.
That is wild.
Iceman. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I was pulling up the – all right, so this is just the history overall. All right, so let's just go back to 98. You know, Tennessee wins in overtime.
In Knoxville,
2017. Lose the following year, 23-21. Lose in Knoxville, 27-23.
That was the pass that Jabbar Gaffney caught and dropped in like half a second.
Yep. Win in Gainesville in 2001.
That's the game that knocked Steve Spurrier out of coaching at Florida. That was a game that was played after, like, in December, right? After 9/11 because it got canceled?
Yeah, 34-32. Yeah, December 1st.
Yep.
It was played. Lose in 2002 in Knoxville, 30-13. Then they win in 03, 24-10. Win in 04, 30-28, and that is the last time that they have won back-to-back.
Wow.
Not only the last time Gainesville, but last time they won back-to-back.
Wasn't that Will Hoyt's field goal? He missed one earlier, and then he nailed like a 47-yarder, the Hendersonville High School guy, and they won that in 04. And they went to the SEC Championship in 04, too.
Yeah, they did. Lost to LSU, right?
04, they lost to Auburn. Was that it? LSU was 07. I know that.
I think it was.
Was 04 LSU? No, I don't think Saban made it in 04. I think it was Auburn.
It was. Yeah, it was Auburn. Good call. Yeah, that's right. Because that was that Tuberville?
Yeah. Yep. And then Saban left and went to Miami after that.
I'm trying to look. Let's see. They have not. Tennessee has not won 3 in a row.
Ever? They only started playing
okay, they did,
in 1990.
All right. Going So the first time they played was 1916.
Okay.
They won 24-0. They won 10 straight from 1916 to 1953, but didn't play every year.
Okay.
That's the only time they've won more than 2 straight. And then they won 2 straight in 70 and 71 and did not win 2 straight again until 03-04.
Does it have the 85? The 85 they lost 17-10, I think. That was
That Florida, is correct, yeah, so in Gainesville.
Florida won the SEC, but they're on probation, so Tennessee won the SEC and went to the Sugar Bowl. They started again in 90. We all remember that was a Dale Carter kickoff time at halftime. It was 7-3, and then he ran the kickoff back, ran over like 28 different Florida players, and I thought Neyland was going to literally collapse into the Tennessee River. And then since 90 on, they've played, and it's been pretty lopsided.
That's just a crazy – like – when you say when I say to somebody that Peyton Manning never beat Florida, they're like, "What?"
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's
right?
Just a crazy stat.
Yeah, and he beat Alabama though. He did say, "I mean, I beat Alabama several times. I've done. I never beat a Gator bite down there." So no, he never beat him. But that's the thing is that Florida was so good with Werfel, like 92, 93, 94, 95, 96, 97, all through there. Especially they won four straight, 93 to 96. Florida won the SEC championship, and Spurrier was on top, and it was crazy. And then it's funny, for the longest time, Tennessee was the back-to-back SEC champion for years.
Yeah.
Because they won it in 97 and 98. And I don't think anybody won it again until Alabama. Like, I don't think anybody won back-to-back SECs.
Yeah, I think you're right. Did Florida not?
Florida won it in 06 and 08. LSU won it in 7. Bama won it in 9. Auburn won it in 10. LSU in 11. Bama in 12. Auburn in 13. And I think it was 14-15. That was the next repeat. So it's crazy all that how competitive it was.
So I laugh at this on Tennessee, on the history page, on Tennessee's actual website about Florida. These are all the things that it lists. So – wins, losses, 22 and 32. Home record. What do you think the home record is?
For Tennessee?
Yeah, against Florida.
So they played 54 times, so 27. I'm going to say 14-13.
Close, 14 and 14. They're 500.
Juju.
Gainesville?
Oh, it's
8 and 17.
8 and 17.
Conference record, 17 and 31.
Gosh.
The streak, they've won one. This is what made me laugh. They have first matchup, win 24-0, 10-28, 19-16. It's like, do you just want to have a positive stat?
Yeah,
there?
I'll take that.
They're 3-7 in their last 10. The largest margin of victory for Tennessee, 1990, 45-3.
Yep.
Yep.
Beat the snot out of them.
Smallest margin of victory, 1928, they won 13-12.
Oh, get it in there.
And Tennessee averages 21 points a game against Florida.
Well, doesn't do good in Florida's averaging 35.
Yep.
The 96 game in Knoxville is great because that's the year Werfel won the Heisman. And Florida got out to what? I think it was a 35-0 lead, and they won 35-29. And people are like, well, Tennessee came back. Florida absolutely shut it down. 35-0, and Tennessee rallied and came back and was there at the very end. It was a crazy game, pouring rain. But, I mean, I tell you, that's why – I get when Heupel says, you know, I wasn't here for all those. I wasn't here. I don't remember that. I get all that. But, man, you get an opportunity. And Florida's look at it from Florida's perspective tomorrow. We knock you off. I mean, is Florida out of the bowl picture?
Yeah.
So they're 3-7?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you salvage your season by knocking off Tennessee. Next week you knock off Florida State.
Yeah.
It sounds good. Like, we beat Tennessee. We beat Florida State. It makes you feel good. So I don't know. But I just think history plays into this, and I think Florida takes it.
Steven from Hendersonville says, Will Hoyt missed the game-tying extra point. Florida was 3-and-out trying to run out the clock, 51-yard game-winning field goal as time expired.
That's it. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I remember he hit it, and I remember he missed something earlier in the game.
Yeah, that's what it was. We're live today at the side piece, and breaking news, Amy Adams drunk. Was at a podium today talking about they put the, I guess they call it the topping out ceremony.
Yeah.
The last piece of steel on the structure of the new stadium. And I need to watch this because Kuharski posted it, but she actually spoke today. So, wow. How about that? That's breaking news right there.
And we'll wasn't Goodell in town?
Maybe.
He was. Roger Goodell hosted that with her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that much more coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. We're live at the side piece here on Commerce and Second. Our question of the day is, what are the headlines going to read on Monday? And it's presented by Aries Tactical, your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical. Check them out at ariestactical.com. One to add might be Amy Adams Strunk Speaks. She talked at the topping out ceremony. They put the final beam on the new stadium. Roger Goodell was there. Koharski reports he did not do interviews. He did not speak. But,
of course not. They ain't dumb.
Yeah. I don't know if she really did interviews either. But they have signatures on the beam, including Governor Bill Lee, Amy Adams Strunk. That's pretty cool. Joe Dubin is on there.
Joe voted against that stadium. Joe voted against the first stadium because I believe it doesn't behoove our
city. I take that back. Goodell did speak. He just didn't do interviews. So
yeah, I saw him talk about how valuable the franchise – he said something about how – this was from Paul Koharski's tweet about how valuable the franchise is. Yeah. It's a wonderful franchise. What do you think he's going to say? It's a disaster. She's a disaster. There's going to be maybe 30,000 people in the stadium on Sunday.
Because in his mind, they're not a disaster because they're making money.
Making money.
That's all that matters.
Yep. I do think this might be one of the worst attended crowds ever at Nissan Stadium.
Yeah, I'll be curious. I'm going. I don't know why.
Of course you are.
But I'm going.
Titan Homer.
No. Friends are in town. And let's just go.
Don't explain to me.
We're going to come see you on Sunday at JBJ's and just drink. Hey, every time the Titans screw up, drink. We'll be drunk by the end of the first quarter. It's perfect.
Oh, man. Love it.
Yeah. So we will see. It looks like I just saw the Tampa Bay Rays. I guess they got the roof back on the trop.
Well, I thought they were moving here, according to all you baseball lovers. Nashville's going to get a baseball team. Nashville ain't getting a baseball team for another 10, 15 years. It ain't happening.
That's fine.
Unless you win Powerball Mega Millions combined at the top level, then you get that to do all that stuff.
This stadium is looking pretty cool, I will admit.
Well, good. Since your property taxes quadrupled, you should.
They did, yeah.
No, you should enjoy that stadium.
It was great.
As well.
I was like, man, it's awesome having land in Davidson County. What the?
You're like, can you not build a stadium on my land in Bellevue?
No. Might get like one section. It's so funny. You kind of you don't realize like how much land it takes to do something. But
you're the original land man. Billy Bob Thornton.
Am I?
Yeah. You do it in there.
Something like that.
Oh, no. I'm sure this will be a nice phone call from our friend.
Which one?
The top one.
Okay. Well, let's go to Kenny the Mailman. Hi, Kenny.
Absolutely. It'd be a good call.
It always is.
I need to help you out, though. Somebody is pranking you saying Miss Amy was behind that podium.
Okay.
That was Kathy Bates. They're filming a scene from Nashville 911. And Chase, you should know better because word has leaked out. You're playing Freddie O'Connell in Nashville 911. So we're excited about that.
Nashville 90210 would be better.
That's what I was going to say, yeah. Can I be Dylan?
But listen, I did want to brag on you a minute, Chase. I've been there since you started in radio. And you sort of glossed over. Tell us a little bit about Wednesday night. And did you ever think you was going to get to do something like that? And seriously, we're really proud of watching you starting at the very bottom, and you've worked your way up pretty well. So, hey, hang in there, and you got to keep up with your Nashville 911 news.
Well, I will. Thank you. Thank you, Kenny. I appreciate it.
Chase doesn't want to talk about presenting at the CMA Awards because you're off Wednesday.
Yeah.
He got his tux ready, wrote a few jokes, presented to the red carpet. So that's all online somewhere.
Here's the thing. You know, they were like, we'd like you to present at the CMA Awards. What they didn't mention was this was the CMA Roadie Awards. So actually held down here at Category 10, the old
nice.
Wild Horse. So.
Okay, well, good then.
Yeah, no. I was like, where is he going?
Yeah, we're proud of Chase for the CMA Awards.
Well, it's always funny. Whenever I take off, I'll get calls or texts from people like, man, that's really cool. And I go, what did Joe say I was doing now?
Well, we got tired of the LinkedIn certification. It's a Dr. Craig.
Well, I'm maxed out. They said I can't get certified.
We're like, he's doing CMA Awards. It's even better.
Let's go to Nate in Lebanon. Nate, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Yeah, Seahawk fan here. And
okay.
I'm nervous. I just want to survive this game. And my headline would be Seattle survives, I guess. Is there anything, and you've been around the team, you get a sense that the last two games or 2 weeks have meant something. Is the momentum, if anything, is it building towards, hey, we can compete? And I know, any given Sunday, right?
Right. Well, Nate, here's the deal. Chargers.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Hold on. Don't go, Nate. We want you. Don't go anywhere. Okay. You're still there. Yeah. Hold on, buddy, because you're a Seahawks fan. We very rarely get Seahawks fans calling in. The game against the Chargers, were playing with their food. They knew they could beat the Titans. They didn't really care. They won 27-20. They got out of town. It wasn't even that close. The Texans' offense, despite what happened last night, that's a bad offense but a great defense. So I knew the Texans expect, they're giving us a little fight here. We'll win the game. Never did we think the Titans were going to win this game at all. Now, your Seahawks rolling here, and are they the best road team in football right now? I think they are. And they're mad at what happened last week in Los Angeles. So I think this could be a long day for the Tennessee Titans.
Well, I hope so. I just want to survive, injuries, and let's move on to the next week. On to Vanderbilt.
Hey, Nate, real quick, who's your favorite Seahawk player of all time? Greg Gaines?
Greg Gaines. Steve Largent.
Okay.
Kenny Easley. I had a forearm in high school that I patented off of Kenny Easley.
Rest in peace.
Yes, sir. Have a good day, guys.
Thank you, Nate.
Appreciate it for the call.
How this all comes together, Steve Largent was originally drafted by the Houston Oilers, and they cut him. And he went to Seattle and became a Hall of Fame receiver. We're all connected, brother. Thanks, Nate, for the call, Bubba.
How old do you think Steve Largent is now?
He was a congressman from Oklahoma for a while. I think Steve Largent is 74.
71.
71. Damn it. Missed it
Tulsa,
by two.
Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Missed it by two. Yeah, he was drafted by – what year was he drafted by the
– I just closed it out. He was
– 74.
That sounds right. He was drafted in 76.
76, okay.
Yeah.
He probably asked Bud for like a dollar for a Coke, and Bud's like, he wants too much.
We need to ask McLean about him sometime.
That's how I knew about it, because McLean brought it up.
Okay.
Because they had drafted John Matuszak earlier.
Yeah.
And Bud had a falling out with him. They traded into the Raiders. And Matuszak would become an amazing football player. So then the next year they drafted, or 2 years later they drafted Earl Campbell.
Fourth round, 117th overall, and they cut him.
That's Restrepo. Let Restrepo get in there and play on Sunday. Right? Just let him play. The Titans have absolutely zero to lose. Zero.
We'll talk about that and much more. Continue your calls and text 615-737-1025. We're at the side piece here at Commerce and Second. On this Friday, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. We're live today at the side piece at the corner of Commerce and Second.
Happens
to me sometimes, too.
Never happens to you. It's only me. Yes.
Brando is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, or the Buzz. Is always about great service. And, of course, this here program is presented by our friends at the Omni Nashville Hotel. You got one more home game tomorrow, right?
MTSU.
MTSU takes on Sam Houston. Kickoff at 2. Pregame coverage will get underway at 12:30 on Totally Hits 93.3. You can also listen on the Totally Hits app and at totallyhitsnashville.com. But I know you talked to Derek Mason earlier this week, and so hopefully they can – close out the home schedule with a win.
Senior day, and, they're 1-9. Everybody knows that, and it's been a difficult season and not very good, and we get all that. And now all you can control is the last two games you got, and that is Sam Houston the next week on the road versus New Mexico State.
Michael wants to weigh in on the program. Michael, what's up?
Afternoon, gentlemen. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Doing all right. So the last caller motivated me to call in, and Chase, you got me fired up right now.
Okay.
So also, as a Seahawks fan, I understand the last caller's concern of, us barely surviving the Titans. I remember, I believe, 2 years ago when we faced the Titans in Nashville. I felt like we should have had a much easier win, and I understand his concern of, we barely make it down because we know we can beat them, but it's a play down to their level type thing. But you got me fired up because I'm more on the board with you as far as we just came off a really tough loss against the Rams, and we're angry. Darnold's probably going to throw for 200-plus yards. Chase Henry sees 150. Defense might, I say, get at least one interception. But, where was I going with this?
Stay with us, man, Mike.
No, but essentially, I think we're going to come in and we're, like Chase said, we're angry about it. We're going to go. And I know it was like kind of a bad, I guess some people see it as a bad loss from last week. I, on the other hand, don't really see it as a bad loss. I mean, the fact that after those two touchdowns from the first two touchdowns from the Rams, the defense held Stafford under 200 throwing yards, and we didn't allow a lot of running yards after that. So, bad loss, I don't really think it was. It was a tough loss, but not a bad one. But I'm excited for the Seahawks to get a bounce-back win, and I kind of feel bad because it is against the Titans, and it's pretty easy, or should be at least. But go Hawks.
Right, so let me ask you, why are you a Seattle fan? I'm curious.
So I've been a fan since 2009, 2010, and when I first got into NFL football, I was looking around. I watched every single team, one home game, one away game, and it was the 12th man that got me, and I'm like, this is the team I'm going to dedicate my emotional life to.
Good for you, man. I love people who discover teams not because it's forced on you by your parents, but nice.
No, my dad's a Buffalo Bills fan. He tried to get me to be a Bills fan, but that 12th man had me hooked, line, and sinker.
Good, good. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I was waiting for this, and he got in the first hour. I figured he would. Gator Mike, we knew he was going to talk Florida UT. What's up, Mike?
What is going on, fellas? It is Trash Talk Friday, or as Joe says, just another day. Yeah, sorry, I missed y'all at Germantown Cafe the other day. Skinzer got a little busy. I was trying to swing by and catch y'all in person. But you know what? I'm excited about this game. It's one of those, you know, it's you just really never know how it's going to go. I mean, Florida's got a lot of injuries, but I think what helps is they get Caleb Banks back on the defensive line. It's a night game in the swamp. You can, never can take that lightly. And, Joe, you've seen plenty of these. It's just, you know, going to be a great atmosphere and everything. And Florida always plays hard for that game. You know, it's, you know, they got nothing to lose, right? They're going to a bowl game. They don't have to worry about, oh, we got to win this to make a bowl game. I just think they're going to play loose, so all the pressure is really on Tennessee.
Mike, tell me why Gainesville at night is special. I know Neyland, I know Death Valley, I know all that, but you went to school there. You've been to many games at night there. Why is Florida Field special at night?
Well, I mean, as you know, the one thing is, you know, the crowd is so close to the field, right? So they're almost right on top of you. Night game like any other place like LSU, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, you know, the people been drinking all day. And then you get to where it's just, you know, they just feed off that energy and stuff at nighttime. And it's, you know, swamp's a hard place to play, even when Florida's bad. It's just something special. It's going to be a great atmosphere. They got that new tradition now, won't back down, that starts the third, you know, between the third and fourth quarter. It's just a spectacle, and this game's always better when both teams are good, but you can still see that it means something when it's the nighttime game for, you know, week 11 of the college football season.
All right, Mike, who do you want as Florida's next head coach?
Oh, I'm lane or bust for me. I think they're pulling out all the stops. I think you got to go big. You can't go a G5 guy. If the Lane thing falls through and he stays at Ole Miss or LSU, or he goes to LSU, my second option, I would want, like, Lincoln Riley. If I get Eli Drinkwitz, Joe, I will become an MTSU fan just for you because I cannot stand Eli Drinkwitz.
There's a lot of people like you.
Interesting. All right, thanks for the call, Mike. Appreciate it.
Hey, take care, guys.
You too. I think a lot of Florida fans are probably on the Lane train more than anything.
He ain't going to Florida. I'd be shocked if he did. But
I think if he leaves, it's LSU.
Yep.
Jack wants to weigh in on Vandy in Tennessee. Jack, what's up?
Yeah, you guys earlier talking about the possible results this weekend with the various teams that are playing.
Yes, sir.
Actually made me think of two longer-term questions. I'd hate to lose Clark Lee, too. But on the other hand, the gorilla in the room is, can he repeat this success with a different quarterback? And my second thought was, should Tennessee lose the next 2 weeks in a row, where does that leave Heupel?
Great questions.
Ooh, that
and
is
I'll,
a great
and
question.
I'll get off, let y'all kick it around. Thanks.
I think Heupel gets another year. Anything else, I don't think he's on the hot seat, but I think there's another year coming. All right, now we'll be in your sixth year. What are you doing? What are we doing? Where are we going for all that and going? That's a question with Clark Lee. I mean, you got to replace everybody. You got to do it next year. Can you do it at Vanderbilt? So if he wants to stay there and he's going to be there, can you do this again at Vanderbilt? That's the challenge.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot easier done at Penn State, Florida, LSU, UCLA than it is at Vanderbilt. But again, Chase, you said he's a guy that's invested not in the university but in the town and right. everything around him. So we'll see. It's going to be fun to talk about it.
Here's the thing on Heupel, too. Whether, you know, I asked him about everybody saying, like, well, you're going to get a pass this year because Nico transferred last minute and all that, yada, yada, yada. And, of course, he didn't want to hear any of that.
Right.
And didn't want to make excuses. They're going to make excuses. I mean, he's going to get that pass whether he wants to admit it or not. And so you have to factor that in. There's going to be the narrative of, well, you know, they did okay, but they kind of got thrown that yeah. and all that. And they're, you know, because we know that's what happens.
Yeah,
and
right.
Whether it's administration or coaches or fans or whatever, that excuse is going to be out there. Next year, you don't have one. So if, you know, whoever the quarterback is next year, I'm sure unless McIntyre or Merklinger show them that, okay, they got something special and they're right. ready to go as a sophomore, probably won't, then he's going to play the portal, go try and find somebody.
Well, they got a five-star. They had the top quarterback, one of the top quarterbacks in the country coming in next
yeah,
year.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, you know, if one of those guys is the guy, but it all depends on development. But I think next year is going to tell you more of a story than this year.
But if you lose to Florida and Vanderbilt, you finish 7-5, you got one more year.
Yeah.
Vol fans ain't putting up with that.
Yeah.
Then you become.
And you should. You should put up with it because look at what you had before.
Then you look at, you know, are we Butch Jones again? I mean, is it what's happening? And so that's why we love this. This will all play out on the field. This is not in the committee's hands.
Yep.
Not in a bunch of people in Dallas. This will all play on the field in the next 8 days. That's why we love sports because it all plays itself out.
Coming up next, we'll talk to Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver. He'll join us next. Chase and Big Joe live at the Side Piece, 102.5 The Game.